You know, it's Shark Week, and I'm just thinking to myself right now, we're playing this, and I'm guessing our next guest has probably heard that no less than 3 million times in his life. And every time he does any interview on any radio station, anywhere ever, he probably hears that song. It is the Chris and Amy Show, and it is Shark Week. That's right. It is Shark Week on Discovery. This has been going on for decades now. I used to watch it getting ready to go to college. I remember it'd be Shark Week, and then we were in college. The school year would start. And we are now joined by shark tagger, conservationist, and researcher out of Southern California, also on Discovery quite a bit during Shark Week. It is Keith Poe, who is with us on the show. Good morning, Keith. How you doing?
Great. And don't forget, you're going to need a bigger boat, baby.
Yeah, so throwaway line. It was improvised and turned into the most iconic line from that movie. So, Keith, it's Shark Week. And like I said, when I was getting ready to go back to college every August, I feel like it happened a little later in the year than it does now. Maybe I'm wrong, but this is such a fun week. And I know for you, it's probably even more fun because this is your livelihood.
That's right. And getting to go out on the water and look at things like we're doing with this show coming on tonight, with this Mako that they found down in Mexico that we're investigating. This shark blows everything away on all the charts, the Mako shark. Normally, the biggest Mako sharks that you find out there max out at 1,000 pounds and 12 feet. Now, this thing is such an extreme outlier. It's unbelievable. It was 15 feet. So if you take a Mako that's 12 feet, and it's 1,000 pounds. The largest, heaviest one that's ever been weighed was 1,323 pounds. And that was back in 2013. So, and once they reach 9 feet, every foot after that, they gain approximately 200 pounds. So if this thing is 5 or 3 feet bigger than the normal maxed out size of 12 feet and it's 13 or 15 feet, now you have a fish that's at least 600 pounds heavier. If you put 600 on top, 1,300, now you have a Mako that's almost doubled in the normal weight of 1,000 pounds, the grander they call it, and it's approaching double that size at 2,000 pounds. And if you look at all the commercial landings and the sport fishing records worldwide, there's over 100,000 of them, and none of them get anywhere near close to this. So this thing is so massive and so large, we had to go investigate it, and we went all in on it. We had put everything we had into it to go find this animal and find out everything we could about it, and that's what the show is all about.
The show tonight on Discovery is called Biggest Mako on Earth. It is at 9 o'clock Central Time, and you can record it, you can watch it live. And Keith, why is the Mako shark, that's the one that you are most focused on in your career, is that correct?
It was early in my career because they're protected, and then once I started working with the researchers, then I had the permits that allowed me to start working with the white sharks. And last season I tagged actually went on 5 trips for the white sharks last season, and I'm about to go again in 30 days, and the tags are coming in the mail now. With the white sharks, I saw 160 in 5 trips, and I picked out 6 of them to tag and put the spot tags on, and the tags last for up to 7 years. And it was 3 16-foot white sharks, 2 17-foot white sharks, and the largest one that was ever tagged, and that's 18-foot. And these sharks, a lot of times, these organizations, they'll do stretch measurements, and then a lot of them that are pulled out of the water, they'll be crane stretched. And those are all inflated numbers, and they have computer programs that inflate the numbers as well. When I measure them, those are true caliper-like measurements, and they're exact. And it's the largest one that's ever been tagged. And in 1 month, I'm going to go do it again because we found that new area of white sharks that was previously unknown. We're trying to find everything we can out about them, and finding that out through the largest matriarchs, the females, is the best way to do it. One of them that we named Kara, she did something that they normally never do, and she went all the way up to the Alaska border, spent several months, and then she went over by Hawaii. And another one left Southern California and went over halfway to Japan to the Gardner Pinnacle. So we found that quite interesting as well. So we're learning a lot of new behavior that we haven't observed before with them.
So quick question about the white sharks, because we've talked to you about that, but how do you tag an 18-foot white shark?
Yeah, how do you know? Because like you say you've identified some you want to tag. Yeah. How do you know where to find them specifically?
And then how do you do it that they're swimming around?
Well, like the Jaws story, it centered around people being killed. And we had people that were being killed here on one of the local beaches, Surf Beach. And then there were some kayakers that were being attacked in their kayaks, hit and raised several feet in the air on their kayaks and destroying them. So I went up there and we started observing that area. And we found a massive group of white sharks. It's probably one of the largest congregations in the world of sub-adults and adults. And when I am attracting them, we use chum, attract them to the boat. Then I use a trash can full of rope and a hook and welding gloves. And then they take off and I fight them and I tire them out. It's kind of like breaking a horse, and I convince them to come to the side of the boat while it's underway. And then I take and attach the with four fasteners onto their dorsal fin, a spot tag that lasts up to 7-8 years.
So, okay. Do they generally stay, like, okay, how big is the area they generally stay in, right? Because my understanding is they can swim forever and really long distances, but do they tend to collect in one area and stay there?
There's one that I tagged that I named after my last name. Her name was Poe Girl. We tracked her for 7 years. I've seen her three different times since I tagged her, and it was always in the exact same location again. And it's every other year because they have a 2-year migration cycle because their gestation period is 18 months. And generally what they'll do in my tagging location off Point Conception, California, is once they leave there and they spent several months there, they'll go out halfway to Hawaii and Cabo. They'll spend 13, 16 months. And then she went every time around Cabo San Lucas into the Sea of Cortez, spent a few months, and we believe she had her pups there. Then she immediately returned straight back to where I tagged her, and she kept doing that, and she did it 3 different times over that 7 years, that exact same pattern. So, yes, we've come back to the exact same location, and it's not uncommon for me to see 40 different individuals there over a 3-day trip that are in the same exact location every year.
Have you ever, in the process of tagging a shark, just gotten in a situation where you're thinking, okay, this was bad, this was close, just, you know, where you could have died or the shark turned on you, did something that was unexpected?
Yes, I've had one that was a Mako that was 1,500 pounds, I believe, and that's estimated, not documented. That's a big distinction difference people need to understand when they're looking at information. So she was 1,500 pounds, and I bolted a tag on her, named her after my daughter, Heather, and when I was fighting her, it took me many hours to fight her. She was so fierce. And in the middle of the night when I was fighting her, she stopped fighting. And she came up, swam up to the boat, stuck her head out of the water. She looked around, and when she saw me, she snapped her jaws really hard to threaten me and tell me that if she gets her shot, that she's going to take me out. She scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I've had them at the side of the boat before when they think they have a chance to try to bite me. They'll swing for me and try to do it. And I have to reach in their mouth and pull the hook out by hand. So it can be quite dangerous, but I think it's well worth the risk.
Do sharks, and you're talking about a Mako here, do they do the thing kind of like dogs do where they bite as a warning? They're not actually trying to bite you, but they're trying to let you know, hey, stay away from me. Do they do that?
Well, that's what that one big Mako did. But the others, if you get close and you've detained them and subdued them, and you're trying to get them to work with you because they're so powerful, but they will take a shot at you and try to bite you because that's their hands. They're trying to let you know, let me go. They want to go. So nobody wants to be detained, especially if you're a wild animal. But I've had them one that was a 11-foot, 3-inch Mako off the backside of Catalina, where I was hand feeding her a Mako. And then I caught her and tagged her. And I tried to be as minimally invasive as possible. That's my job. And she came right back after I tagged her and released her and continued eating out of my hand. And that I found is a great success.
Oh, wow. That's very cool.
Why is tagging so important?
Well, if you're trying to manage something and you don't know where it's going and what it's doing, then you can't manage it properly. And that's what it's all about. There's just a big mystery about these sharks, and they don't know what they're doing. We didn't know there was a new tribe up there. We didn't know they were spending years ago all that time out there in the middle of the Pacific. And understanding where their nurseries are at is vital to protecting those areas, and they're studying their migration routes and preferred habitats just for the management purpose.
So the show tonight is The Biggest Mako on Earth. It is on Discovery. It's at 9 o'clock. We are just now starting Shark Week. Is there something that people don't understand about sharks that you wish they did?
All I can say is if you've experienced what I've experienced, then it never gets old. Every time you see them, it's absolutely a joy. I'm like the little kid in a candy store, and they're just absolutely fascinating. And their behavior, their strength, their power, and unlocking all their little mysteries. It's like an aquatic Rubik's Cube, and I get to go investigate it and then share with the world and also help with the management process. So I absolutely love it.
Go watch it tonight on Discovery, Biggest Mako on Earth. It is at 9 o'clock tonight, our time, Central Time. And Keith Poe is right there in the thick of it. And we appreciate you. We love talking sharks with you. So thank you again for being with us, Keith.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
That is Keith Poe. He is a shark tagger and a conservationist. He's out of Southern California, and he's a lot of fun and passionate about sharks. I love it. I love talking to people who are passionate about stuff like that and stuff that is interesting to the rest of us, but we don't really ever explore it unless we're watching Shark Week.
Right.
Know what I mean?
Remember the alligator guy? He was similar.
Oh, yeah. Rob. Alligator Rob.
Alligator Rob.
That's why I said we got an alligator guy. We have a shark guy. What do we need next?
We have a sinkhole guy.
That's Sean Malone.
Yeah.
He's an everything guy, though.
Yeah, what do we need next?
Bacteria guy.
We need a bacteria guy.
Ugh, I don't know.
We need a fungus guy.
Yeah.
Or fun guy?
A worm guy. We had screw worm and tapeworms.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
Those aren't the good kind of worms.
No.
They're not the earthworms, you know?
No.
So tonight, Biggest Mako on Earth. It's on Discovery at 9 o'clock. It is Shark Week, baby. I love this time of year. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. Gas House Gang at 12.